Summer is almost here. Don't you want to go to the beach with thicker, gorgeous, beautiful locks? And everyone goes, hey, I love your hair. And you go, Nutrafol, baby. You know, something along that lines. Well, take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering my listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and you enter the promo code TSFS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. I recommend it. I've been taking Nutrafol for years. It's how I got my hair back thicker and not falling out in chunks after I had KJ. Now it's your turn. Nutrafol has been on with me for years, and that's because you all continue to buy, and it really works. I love it. Now it's your turn to love it too. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. That's Nutrafol.com with the promo code TSFS. Via Hemp, let's talk about it. Via Hemp offers THC and non-THC craft cannabis experiences. Now, I love a non-THC option when it comes to your overall wellness. I'm talking sleep aid, maybe anxiety if you have that. Well, that's where Via comes into play. And did you know even a non-THC option, if you're doing fertility or IVF, can be helpful? Look into that. Well, Via is incredible. You got to be 21 plus. You can get 15% off with my exclusive code TSFS when you go to ViaHemp, ViaHemp.com. They have all kinds of lifestyle products. And like I said, the best part is with the THC or without, so you don't have the buzzy. Don't you love my cannabis lingo? I mean, the buzzy. Anyway, you know, I'm unique. What can I say? Look, order now. You're going to love Via Hemp. Use the code TSFS to receive 15% off and a one-time free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viahemp.com and use the code TSFS at checkout. Support the show. Tell them I sent you and enhance your everyday life with Via Hemp.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously and 6-1 since that matters. And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Of our lives, we're like, let's try to keep this short. We're never gonna keep it short, but
never happens. No, I've left out 2 hours.
I know. Natasha Alisa, friend of mine, friend of the podcast, so good to see you.
Hi, it's so bizarre seeing your face again. I feel like this is a reunion episode. How long did we wait? What was this? A couple of months.
Yeah, because we did our podcast series with Riley, and that was like 3 episodes, mm-hmm. almost back to back, which was end of January, February. So now March, April. So it's been 2 months, girl.
Oh my gosh. Do you know there's only like 5 weeks left of school? I don't know how this happened.
What are you going to do with your kids all summer?
I was just going to ask you the same thing. I mean, the girls are pretty self-sufficient, but I'm going to have to, because now I'm doing my own podcast. There's no way I can do that with Harry, with a 6-year-old just Tasmanian devil ball of energy. So I guess I'm going to have to start looking for like maybe a college kid that's home for the summer, wants to pick up some nannying help. I don't know. Because when he's with his dad, he's going to camp every week with his dad. Like his dad booked out all the camp. So I don't want to send him to camp when he's with me, but mama needs to get some stuff done.
I know. You need somebody like for 4 hours.
I can have somebody just twice a week, 4 hours. I'd be golden.
That'd be perfect.
So I'll figure that out.
All right. And the girls are fine. They're going to be just living their best life all summer.
Sam is going to be learning to drive. How did this happen? I still to this day get messages from people that say, I remember hearing the ultrasound heartbeat from your pregnancy with her. How is it she is now learning to drive? She's literally grown up, like in the public, I guess, but it's insane.
I know it is insane. It's, I can't believe. So she will be, she's 16, Nat? Is she
15 permanent? Okay. Although 15. Here you have to be 15 and 9 months to get your permit.
And then
don't ask me why nine.
I know. They're trying to just make it older, hoping that their minds mature a little. Because could she get her license? Can she get her license at 16 or does she have to be 17? It's like 17, right?
It's like 16 and 9 months, I guess. Oh, okay. Just make it 17. Just make it 16 and 17. But yeah, so it's right around that. So I've got a year to teach her how to drive a car and that life is not Mario Kart.
Well, Sam seems pretty responsible though, right? I think Sam will be a good driver.
Sam is very, very responsible, but Sam, she's one of these kids. She's so incredibly book smart. She's so mature for her age, but she doesn't have the best awareness of her surroundings, if that makes sense, like social awareness.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Common sense things that you would just think occur to a 15-year-old. And she's like, what? I don't know. I didn't think of that. Like, so we'll see. It's a crapshoot. It could go either way.
It'll be fine. I feel like Harry will be your NASCAR driver. So I think the girls will be Harry and KJ. I don't know. You know, that they should wait till 18 and 9 months probably to get their licenses.
Oh my gosh. Right? I saw your recent episode about him like hitting and kicking. And I'm like, Sarah, been there, done that.
Wait, did Harry hit and kick or the girls or both?
Oh my gosh.
Everybody.
Well, actually, when the girls were little, when Sam was like maybe 3 or 4 and Sophie was right around 1 or 2, Sophie was a tyrant. She would bite Sam to steal her cereal bar. Like, but she grew out of that pretty quick. But Harry, yeah, I don't know, with little boys, like his first impulse is arms. Like, now he's old enough, he knows better. But when he gets really mad at me, I see like the hand goes up. And I'm like, I give him the eyeball up. And he like pulls it back down. But the impulse is, I'm going to swat you.
I know. They're very aggressive, these little boys, aren't they? They're really
so
something.
Aggressive.
They're really something. So wait, how did you get Harry to at least, sounds like he does have some self-control now. I mean, he is 6, so he's maturing, but a little bit, you know, like they are. How did you get, what did you do? Because I got inundated with feedback of don't really, you know, put his hands down. Don't make a big deal about it because part of it is he's trying to get a reaction. Then I got people that were like, you need to lightly tap him. Like you need to hit him. Then I got people that were like, do the timeout. Where he like sit, you sit with him for the, you know, timeout in minutes of his age. So 3 minutes. So what? And then I got some book recommendations, which I should look because probably a lot of parents want those. But what did you do?
I mean, I certainly didn't ignore it. Like that is where I crossed the line. Sorry, my line is drawn is when you go to kick, hit, bite, any of those things. Like that is a no, you will get my reaction. So I would like grab his little arm and be like, no, we do not hit your sister. And when that didn't work, like if he got a couple of warnings or, you know, like this is not going to fly, we did timeout, which timeout is honestly punishment for the parent too, because you have to sit there. I would have to sit in the room.
Yeah, you had to sit with him.
I had the timeout chair. And I would put the little red chair in my room because he can't have anything like his toys or anything around him. He would sit his butt and I would literally turn my back to him with the timer and just like out of my peripheral vision, keep an eye that he was sitting. And if he started to get up, I would just put him right back in. Be like, no, time out.
Okay.
He hated it enough that seemed to work. But a lot of it was just age, just growing out of it.
I know.
They have no self-control when they're that little.
All right. Well, that makes me feel better. And yeah, and you had success with timeout. And then a couple of ours that have 3 kids and their kids have grown up to be really well adjusted. They did the timeout. So, and it were, I mean, they went through all the things too, right? But they did timeout and now their kids are grown and seem like good humans. So I was like, all right, I think I'll try the timeout.
They all turn out fine. I mean, with Harriet, I did start learning about gentle parenting and validated feelings, you know, saying, I know you feel angry right now and talking about it afterwards. But you have to make sure you talk to them when they're in the mindset to hear you, because when they are all fired up, it's like, forget it. There's nothing is sinking in. And a lot of hugging afterwards, you know, because you can see when it clicks and they're upset. So, yeah, it's just over and over.
And
but now that he's older, it's more of the talking it through. When he was little, it was more like the punishment, the timeout, or the warnings, and then the hugs afterwards.
I love that you said it's punishment for the parents, because I do think that's the part of parenting that people don't tell you, that you're basically along for all the – it's so much more teaching, and you're punished too for everything, because I realized KJ's been in speech therapy for 1 year, and it's not really that you take him to a speech therapist and he learns for an hour. I have to do it too. We have to then continue it all week long. So it's not a – oh, he's going to learn this. I got to learn it too and then implement it. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that part about parenting.
It's so much work. It's right? So exhausting. That's why sometimes, you know, he'll maybe get a little mouthy and be like, get me a drink or whatever, and I'll just do it. And the girls will be like, Mom, I'm like, I can't have the whole conversation right now. Like, sometimes I just can't parent. I just need to let that one go.
I hear you.
Because it's exhausting. It's exhausting.
KJ is starting a swim lesson this week too. And if I have to get in the water, if I have to get in the water and swim with him, I'm going to be so upset. But we'll see.
I only had to get in the water when they were babies. When they were KJ's age, I didn't get in the water. But you're in California. I don't know. It may be a little more hippy-dippy tree. Come bond with me in the water.
God, I hope not. I'm like, I'm paying you. I will help get him in the water if he's a little apprehensive, but then you do it. I don't want, I feel like there's a lot of you just pay this person to help guide you do it. I'm like, no, you do it. I'm not a teacher.
Parenting is a scam.
It is.
Let me tell you.
It's a lot. So how have you been? I think, you know, when we did our series, I don't think we got into depth in the fact that you have now launched your own podcast. Girlie, you're an official podcast host and queen.
Oh my gosh. I say this, but I will keep saying it. I would never have done this without you, without your encouragement and your guidance. I mean, you were the one who kept telling me, just do it. Just do your first one. Just try. There's a market there. So I finally did. I finally took the leap and started my Christian podcast. And it's for girls that, you know, they believe in Christianity. They want, you know, to deepen their faith, but they hate reading the Bible. Because I went for 20 years of every time my mom would be like, you need to read your Bible, just rolling my eyes because it's so boring and not applicable to the modern world. And I found a new way of doing it that actually, like, it's changed my life. It's changed my life, Sarah. So I had to share it with other people.
Oh my God.
And it's been good, but there have been trials. Like, I was telling you the other day, I lost a lot of followers on Instagram from it. It's been a lot of up and down.
Okay, well, we were talking about that. Get into that. Did that? I love this aspect of it because I think so many people struggle with being their true selves online, and then the minute you do that, no matter what your true self is, you are going to lose followers and people that engaged with you that you weren't necessarily friends with, but you thought really liked you in your comment. And of course, it always, it's the kicker to me, I love this, is they always slide in your DMs and tell you how ashamed they are of you and they can't believe it and they're unfollowing you and they always want you to know that they're unfollowing you. Do you do that? If I don't like someone's stuff, I just unfollow them. I don't feel the need to get in their DMs and tell
somebody.
Them.
I saw someone comment the other day after somebody had left like one of those comments on a post and somebody replied to it and said, when you leave a party because you're bored or you don't like it anymore, do you announce to everyone, I am now leaving this party because I don't like the way you're acting. This doesn't suit my needs anymore. No, you just politely walk out the door.
People
but
would
for some
that.
Reason on the internet, people feel the need to tell you. So yeah, I got a few of those and I knew going into it, I knew as soon as I said the C word, as soon as I said Christian, there were going to be some people that just shut me off right away. You know, just were like, nope, I want nothing to do with that. And I took it personal at first because I was like, but that's not me. Like, I'm not going to shove anything down your throat. I'm still the cool mom over here. But after a while, I was just like, you know what? Fine. They don't want to hear it. They don't have to hear it. And God bless you.
Why?
But it does still irk me a little bit.
I know that feeling too. I'm trying to think of the first time I lost mass followers. I think it was when I was canceled for doing the Fox 5 DC story about the – do you remember this? This is like 6 or 7 years ago. I was on Fox 5 DC and we did a story. It actually was so like nobody even thought about it, which obviously was why it went viral and then we were canceled. But anyhow, myself, Holly Morris, and Allison Seymour. We had – it was like a Tuesday Talker segment that they featured on Tuesday mornings. And so Holly had found this story of a young – and he happened to be black in Texas. He was 18 years old. And he applied to like 25 Ivy League colleges and got into all of them. And so we had the debate of, you know, is this kid taking a spot away from other kids by applying to all
you
these –
you went there.
spots.
Oh, my gosh. You're braver than I am. Okay. Okay.
Well, we didn't think. Well, clearly we didn't think it through because we weren't. I mean, the mistake we made, obviously, we made it personal against this young man, and he was black, and people had very strong feelings about that. So, oh my God, all it was like Fox News anchors tear down young black man, and oh, find them on the internet. So people were posting my email and my Instagram and Holly's and
wow.
Allison's and poor Allison, who is black and supports so many black and went to a black college, I believe as part of a black sorority. Oh my God, how she was against black people. It was so wild. This story took off for like 2 weeks. Cancel, cancel, cancel. I lost sponsors for the podcast. The DC Lottery pulled their sponsors. Yep, they pulled their sponsorship. They've never been back. And who else did? I'm trying to think of, it was some other company.
So what did you do?
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it up into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu. How ironic! I love this. Got a new podcast for you to listen to. Yes, I do. It's the Dr. John Delaney Show. Schman and I were actually playing a clip from Dr. John's podcast because he was doing the topic of are youth travel sports ruining families? Well, Dr. John Delaney has over 20 years of sitting with families and dealing with hurting people and mental health issues. He has a PhD in counseling. Delaney walks alongside real people as they navigate tough decisions. And this is actually something that I really enjoy about his show. It's caller driven. I feel like I'm going to have to get a caller-driven show, Dr. John. I love this. Anyway, listen to the Dr. John Delaney Show wherever you get your podcast, or you can follow the link in the description of this podcast episode. I always make it very, very easy to find my sponsors and people that I partner with. So start downloading and listening today to the Dr. John Delaney podcast. Enjoy. Do you hear that? That is the sound of the brand new and delicious You Natural Conception for Her in their juicy strawberry gummy flavored. Ah! Oh my, this is now my favorite thing to take. It's a fertility aid. If you haven't heard about them, they are unbelievable with thousands of 5-star reviews on Amazon. Go and read them for yourself. And they're famous for their Conception for Her and Conception for Him formula, which Schman, my hubby, has been taking for over a month because it takes two to tango. Conception for Her fertility aid is well-researched, baby. They have ingredients like ashwagandha, zinc, magnesium that can help you on that journey to have a healthy baby. So what are you waiting for? Go and order now. You're going to love it, and I want to hear from you. Check out You Natural on Amazon and use code FRASER20 for 20% off Conception for Her, Conception for Him, and the Conception Bundle. That's EU Natural on Amazon, or follow the link on our website for 20% off Conception for Her, Conception for Him, and the Conception Bundle with the promo code FRASER20. That's FRASER, the numbers 20.
Were you devastated at first?
Oh my God. And lost hundreds of followers. Like, and people, I've followed you for years on the radio and I didn't realize you're a racist. I'm unfollowing you. Yeah. I'm like, wait. And at first I felt the need to like defend myself and all this stuff. And I actually talked to the young man that we and his mom, because at first they were like very upset. They wanted an apology. And I went on publicly. I said, I'm so sorry. We just truly, whether you believe this or not, it was like we pulled this last minute story. Nobody really thought about it. And ironically, it was called Tuesday Talkers. And that was the final day of the segment. Management had decided it wasn't really working. Nobody was actually Isn't this crazy? Nobody was reacting to the segment. So the day they canceled it.
So you had no chance to go back on and fix it.
That was it. So I was like so upset for a while. But that was the greatest lesson that I ever learned online, because no matter who you are, now you look at everybody. Everybody from Oprah to athletes to everybody, no matter what they do. Kim Kardashian just lost over 100,000 followers because of the Taylor Swift song. So it, no matter how quote unquote good you are or whatever your beliefs are politically or Christian wise, you will always encounter, if you put yourself out online, which I continue to do, you're always going to run up against, you know, putting your foot in your mouth, or maybe you take a side with something, and that is going to spark a reaction. So it was the greatest lesson I ever learned. And I spent way too much time in that 2 weeks, like trying to defend myself. And finally, I just realized, I'm like, Sarah, are you racist? No, you know yourself. You know who you are. You know what you've helped and done for other people and yourself, and that you're always open to learning and listening. And then I didn't care. So I stopped responding. And people hit me up all the time. You've changed. I'm unfollowing you. Great. Now I go, bye. Hurry. I don't care. I don't, because you just, I get exactly where you've been. I'm actually the opposite. I'm not a good person to talk to, because now I'm addicted to the hate. I truly believe. I do. I believe you actually have to be hated online to be successful. I do, because your people, the hate fuels everything now. And the more they hate you, the more they listen, the more they download, the more they share, the more, and it just gets you more and more exposure. And I think brands now have been through the cancel wave, and I don't think they care. Unless, I mean, if you're a Nazi, yes, I think people care, you know, or you're.
That's where we draw the line.
I mean, I think if you're a member of the KKK, yes. I mean, they are, and you're posting that online, no one's going to endorse you. But now, nobody cares. Nobody cares. I know people.
Well, it's like, I was watching this girl yesterday. I was in, you know, just like, and I was telling Sam, I was like, the internet is so depressing, but I can't stop watching, and, you know, like an Instagram rabbit hole. And there's this girl who posts that she's low income, teen mom, and this is what she feeds her kids for dinner. And it's always like a high preservative, crappy dinner. And she gets thousands of comments, but they're all like judgmental and hateful. And she keeps doing it day after day after day, because that's what gets her traction.
Exactly.
She takes the hate, so she gets the views, so she gets more people watching. But I don't, the numbers aren't important enough to me that I want that kind of following, if that makes sense. I had to kind of come to terms with myself of, yes, I've worked so hard for so many years to build up this following, this number of, you know, people on Instagram or whatever. But at the end of the day, I have to do what I have to be true to myself. Yes. And I have to do what I feel like is going to make a difference in this world, and is going to, you know, when I die, I'm not going to think of, oh my gosh, but I had 30,000 Instagram followers. No, I'm going to think of, I made a difference. I was helpful. I stayed true to my beliefs and to myself. So that is where I am trying to be mentally healthy about it. But I'm not going to lie. Every time I get on Instagram, I'm still like, oh, that number stings a little. I lost 400 followers by coming out as a Christian.
Good. Great. You want to attract the people that are a part of your tribe. And in a year, you're going to have 700 more or 10,000 more of women who absolutely love what you're doing. And the sooner you get rid of the people that are fair weather fans or don't like you, better, the better. And it's unfortunate. I wish there was a way that we could, if you unfollow me, you can never come back. So think well. I wish there was that feature. Do I need Christianity or what? Do I need Christian help? I do. And I listen, to your podcast, especially going through my, and by the way, I'll put this at the front too, but She Read It Herself is the name of your podcast that everyone needs to subscribe on Apple, on Spotify, everywhere podcasts are played, because you have it. You are so good at, it's not preachy, it's not bragging. I do actually like Joel Osteen, but I know people hate Joel. Joel's like, get your Bible, raise it high. Like, you're not. I love all the. I enjoy Joel, but a lot of people hate Joel. One, because he lives in a mansion and goes on a private jet.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Go on.
Well, and people hate the delivery, but. Joel, to me, is like, what I enjoy about Joel is if you are really down, it's like, it's such a high message of believing in yourself and a higher power that I feel like it boosts you back up. I don't give any money to Joel. Best of luck to him when he gets on his private jet. I give $0. I will donate to your church. But no, I need you, because I think it's great when people unfollow you. Why do you want, if they don't get it, they don't get it. You should attract your tribe. Go where you're celebrated, not where you are, you know, disliked, and the right people are going to find you. And those are going to be the people that are going to show up, show out, buy from you, come to your events. That's the people you want, not these low-key haters.
No, totally. Totally. And I will say, you know, a lot of, I have this, I don't know how to describe it, but Christians have gotten such a bad reputation lately because of, unfortunately, whenever you get, you know, these people making hate videos, or, you know, these nut job politicians that are passing legislation against the trans community, they always say they're a Christian. Right. It's like, not all Christians are hateful, but for some reason, the ones who are preaching hate all seem to be Christians. So the other thing, it kind of inspired me when I lost all these people, because they just assumed, oh, you're a Christian, you must hate the gay community. You know, you must, you know, there's so much bad stuff being put out there under the guise of Christianity that it actually fired me up to be like, you know what? I'm studying what Jesus actually said. And what he said is the opposite of what all you idiots are doing. You know, you're not loving thy neighbor. You're not taking care of the foreigner. Jesus preached to take care of the foreigner, the immigrant. And yet a lot of these, you know, I'm sorry, but Republicans that call themselves Christians want to just shoo them away. So it losing the followers actually fired me up of, you know what, I want to represent what Jesus actually taught, and not what a lot of these, I'm sorry, Joel Osteen, but these mega church preachers or these hateful politicians are spewing out of their mouths. So it, like, I don't know if you can tell, I get like so fired up about it.
That's your passion.
Like, let me be a voice of what I think Christianity actually is, which is accepting and loving to all. I'm not going to judge you for your faith or your sexual orientation. I'm just going to show you the love that Jesus has shown me. So that's where I'm coming at it from.
And in your opinion, being a Christian, do you think, okay, why do you think that message is so hard to get out there? Why do you think there's so few of you?
Because unfortunately, it's usually the loudest in the room that get all the attention. And right now it is, oh my gosh, Donald Trump just came out with a Bible. Do you know, like, blood squirted out of my eyes when I saw that? I was like, this man could not be more the antithesis of what Jesus taught, and he's coming out with a Bible. So here I am with my little voice trying to say, no, 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 that's not actually what true Christians believe, or at least those who are following what Jesus said. But you've got the loudest using my faith as a reason for their hate. So it feels very David and Goliath.
Knowing how much you've studied the Bible, and I love this. I love the Cliff Notes version of the Bible, because I am that. I'm like your mom telling you to read the Bible. I hate it. It's so hard to interpret and overwhelmingly long. So what, okay, in all the years that you have been a Christian and studying Christianity, which is, by the way, since I've known you, when I first met you back in 2005.
I haven't always been practicing yet.
Well,
that's a recent thing. I went 20 years without reading my Bible, without opening it up once. It was only a couple of years ago when I was in, like, my second husband had left me, single mom to three kids. It was Peter had just passed away. And I was talking to my aunt, my Thea, who is like a second mom to me. And I was like, I so need God's guidance for what to do next, but I'm not hearing anything. Like, I'm not getting it. I'm praying, but I'm not getting any answers. And she's the one who said, like, I think you should go watch this YouTube video. She knew if she just said, go read your Bible, I'd probably ignore her like I had ignored my mom. But she said, go watch this YouTube video by Priscilla Shire, who is amazing. I say, tell everybody to go and watch her. And it was, and so I Googled her and a video came up of hers that just happened to be how to read your Bible. And she broke it down in such a simple and easy and manageable way. I was like, okay, I can do that. I will just give it a shot. And Sarah, for some reason, I chose the book of John. I don't know why. The very first verse that I read was, and the word was God. The word was with God and the word was God. And I was like, okay, God, I'll take that as a sign that the word, the Bible, is you. And if I want to seek you, I have, you know, this, it's like a direct journal from God. You know, I have this message book. And so I started doing it. I started just taking a couple of nuggets, just a couple of verses, and breaking them down, seeing what does this tell me about God and how can I obey from this? Just those two things. And I started journaling. And then like a year and a half later, I was like, this is incredible, everything I've learned. I cannot get over how much this has changed my life. Life is easier now. Life is peaceful. I feel true joy for the first time. I have to share this with other women. Like, I have to. That's why it started.
What did Priscilla say? How did Priscilla simplify it?
Gosh, I love her. I will never do it as well as her. But basically, she said a couple things. She said, keep it short. You don't need to be reading for an hour. Like, don't set yourself up for that. Just read two or three verses. And really just, before you do, put yourself in a position. Like, I always pray, God, please carve out anything in me that doesn't expect to hear from you. Because so many times I would open my Bible and go, I don't know, maybe I'll hear from God. I'm probably not going to learn anything, though. Expect to hear from God. Put yourself in a position of expectation. And then she would just have you take a couple. And then it was those two things I said, like, look at what does this tell me about God? And what does this tell me? How can I obey? How can I apply this to my life today? So I would just answer those two questions. And it really was just that easy. Like, that is the Cliff Notes version, but it is that simple. And I got so much out of it. I was like, these would make perfect podcast episodes.
I was going to say, take us through your podcast, how it's structured. Because I feel like what's great about yours is that you open the show, your show. But I want to hear from you. But I think you open the show basically with a passage, a verse, something from the Bible, and then you make it applicable to your life, a situation. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I honestly, and I may sound so dumb for this, but I don't know how it happens. I sit down and I pray before each one, like, God, don't let this be my words. Like, let me just be a vessel. Let this just be yours. And I look at, right now we're going through the book of John together, you know, the women and I, and I have the most amazing women doing this along with me. And I just take a couple of verses, and there's just, I don't know how, but there's always a message that comes through when I'm writing these episodes, because I write them the day before I record them. And, you know, just to give you an example, like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can think of one off the top of my head, but just the other day, it was about, oh my gosh, now I got to think for a second. I might have to edit this pause out.
No, leave the pause in. I know.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just the other day, it's the night before Jesus is arrested, and he has three prayers that he says, and he prays for himself, and he prays for the disciples, and then he prays for the rest of us, all believers that will come. And the things that he prayed for, I'm going through a trial in my life right now that is, there's so much uncertainty, and I'm so scared, and I can't talk about it yet, but it is just, it's a big one, and I don't know how it's going to work out. And I look through these things that I'm like, okay, it's the night before Jesus is going to get arrested. And these are the things that he would ask for. These are the priority of what he asked God to give us. And it was that God would show us the love that he had of how he loved Jesus, that God would give us the protection of how he protected Jesus, and that he would give us the unity, like the unity with him. And I took that as, okay, I'm going through this really scary time in my life, but if I have the same love from God that Jesus had, if I have the same protection, what do I have to worry about? Like, I just need to focus on that and believe in that and have faith that however this turns out, I'm going to be okay. He has always protected me. Like you always say, like I have the craziest blessings life story, but that's what it always comes down to is God just always has provided. So like that's just a little snippet of that's how I interpreted those verses to be applicable for my life. But the one thing that if I preach one thing, it's called she read it herself for a reason. It should be how you interpret it, not how I tell you, not how your Sunday school lessons were, not what Joel Osteen says. Read this for yourself and see what message God tells you. Because I think when we sit down to seek him, he gives us exactly what we need that day.
Hero Breads. Oh my gosh. Chef's kiss. Do you love carbs? I'm obsessed. Give me a croissant. Give me a tortilla, baby, every day, slathered with some hummus. Yes, please. And then a lot of veggies, a little turkey burger in it. Okay. That's my own proprietary sandwich. Thanks. Hero Breads right now offering 10% off. Go to hero.co. Enter the promo code TSFS. You are getting 10% off. Now, Hero Bread is so delicious and flavorful, soft, fluffy. In fact, so fluffy that KJ loves it slathered with butter and cinnamon every day. They're known for their products to have 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, zero sugar, and high in fiber. So what are you waiting for? Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code TSFS at checkout. That's TSFS at hero.co. Want your life back? Order Hungry Root. It's actually as simple as that. Truly, Hungry Root is the best meal kit service I have ever worked with because they have meals that take 12 minutes. Guys, if you are a busy mom like I am, KJ now just started swim lessons. And on the night that he has swim lessons, we're not home until 6. I'm trying to make dinner, trying to get him rested and down for bedtime. When I see that number 12 and I know in 12 minutes I can have a healthy meal, I'm turned on. All right. You will be too. Hungry Root's website, so easy to use as well. You just go, you can type in a type of cuisine or if you like chicken, or you can do preset where you tell them you're vegetarian, keto, or you're a meat lover. Right now, get 40% off. My listeners are getting 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/TSFS and get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/TSFS. Don't forget to use my link so they know who sent you and get 40% off right now and free veggies for life. That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, as a modern Christian, how do you interpret the Bible and the teachings? But
it just happened. It's actually not that hard. Now, granted, I'm doing this podcast in the New Testament. I don't know how it's going to go when we get into the Old Testament. It may be a little harder because some of those verses are just talking about the different tribes from the different countries and the battles and this and that, but I'm sure we'll figure it out when we get there. But the New Testament and just reading Jesus' story is just, it's so simple. You know, it's all about loving your neighbor. Like if I could not believe, and I didn't realize this, I grew up in church, I grew up in in a Christian school and in Sunday school a couple times a week, I had no idea that what Jesus preached, it wasn't any judgment. It wasn't any fire and brimstone and condemning people and pointing out their sins. It is an overwhelming message of love and acceptance and meeting you exactly where you're at. This last episode we just did, it's a Pharisee, it's Nicodemus, like this Jewish leader, like the ones who want to kill Jesus. And he comes to Jesus just like, hey, like, who is this guy? And Jesus meets him right where he's at. There's no judgment. There's no condemnation. It's just, let me break this down for you in a way that you can understand. So that's what I try to do. It's let me just meet you where you're at. And it always works. I've never had somebody write to me and say, I came in with an open heart and I listened and I got nothing out of it.
That's good.
And that's not because of me. Amazing. That's not me taking credit. That's just hoping that God meets you where you're at.
I love, you know, our conversations we have offline. You have great advice, great spirituality. I am curious, though, when you read the Old Testament, because my understanding, and you are far more knowledgeable than I am, but my understanding
not
is—
not that much.
The Old Testament is much more violent and judgmental, right? And much more warlike and much more this is the way and this is not the way, right? So that will be interesting to, because I agree with you. I was raised Catholic and, you know, obviously Catholicism is changing a lot. But, and my poor parent, my mom, what they lived through was so judgmental, right? I mean, oh my God, you Lent, you know, if you ate meat on Friday, you were going to hell. I mean, if you didn't go to confession, you were going to hell. All these things. If you had sex before marriage, you were going to hell. So many, they live with so much guilt. And thankfully, my parents, I think, had their own awakening. And they were just like, these things are man-made, not Christ-made. You know, these are things that the church over the years has developed as a way to keep you under control, right? To keep people coming to the church, tithing with the church, fearing if they don't, what will happen to them or their family, right? So over the years, I see Christ that way too, as forgiving, as loving, as not so judgmental. But I mean, to be honest, like you're kind of saying, a lot of hardcore Christians, I mean, that is the difference, right? I mean, like there are real sins, and if we commit them, we're going to pay a price for them. How do you reckon with that?
The thing is, Sarah, I am learning. It's incredible. Reading it for myself has opened my eyes up to how much of a lot of the, not all churches, but a lot of church doctrine, like what you were talking about, isn't what the scripture actually says. It's an interpretation by men over the years. The Bible not once mentions premarital sex. I had no idea. I was taught my whole life, you got to save yourself for your husband, or, you know, God is gonna curse you with an STD. You know, like, it was the worst sin as a teenager you could make. And it's actually not anywhere in the Bible. Like, show me the verse that says not to have sex before you're married. And it's those kinds of things that I find it fascinating. I've started, like, as just a little hobby, which sounds crazy that this is a hobby, but reading about the historical accuracy of the Bible and the way the translations have changed over the years. You know, there's a new documentary out called 1946. I haven't watched it yet, but it got me interested because the basis is that the Bible doesn't talk about homosexuality being wrong. That that was in 1946. It was a bad translation of the word. Oh, I'm not going to say it right, but Alakanai, it's a Hebrew word that was translated differently, and they changed the publications of the Bible in 1946 to say that homosexuality is wrong. So it's those kind of things that right now I'm just like fascinated with reading about. Oh, you know, yeah. I switched my Bible to the one that's most historically accurate. But to answer your question, with all the stuff with the Old Testament, I'm going to figure it out when I get there. You know, I think that, and some Christians may hate me for this, but that's okay. I don't think the Bible is the literal word for word rule book. You know, a lot of things we've changed over the years. We no longer, you know, sell our daughters off, you know, to the highest bidder for whatever. We don't, you know, we don't sacrifice animals. We don't do so many things that were in the Old Testament. And a lot of it is you really have to step back and go, okay, is this like the church's or these politicians' interpretation of it? Should I just accept that? Or should I go and read it for myself and see what I believe God is saying? And it's a tricky road, but that's the way I'm going at it. So because good. I was not happy it went as a teenager with all of the, oh my gosh, if you're gay, you're burning in hell. If you are Muslim, or they weren't so much about Jews in my church. They're like, well, they may be going to hell. We don't really know. But certainly if you were any other religion, you were going to burn in hell. That never sat right with me. And so I'm shaking off everything that I learned before, and I'm learning it for myself.
Natasha, when do you put out new episodes?
Every Tuesday and Thursday. But I urge people to click the follow subscribe button, because once in a while a kid will be sick and it will come out on a different day instead.
And what has the response been? You kind of teased it that everyone that tunes in, you know, you get these messages, they have an open heart, they walk away with something. But what has the response been like?
It's been incredible. You know, I was at first I was checking the analytics after every episode, like how many downloads did I get on this one? What did I get on this one? And at first it was really big numbers because all my followers were curious, like, let me go see what she's doing. And then it drops off, you know, and I saw those numbers dropping off and I was like, oh gosh, am I doing the wrong thing? You know, what did I do here? And so I started praying, like, God, just send me signs that this is working. And I started getting messages from different women that were like, look, here's a picture of my journal that I bought and I'm writing along with every episode. And I got a message the other day that these amazing women, they have their own little Bible study group where they meet in Bethesda and they listen to my episodes and then they talk about it. And so it's like now the numbers are starting to grow more and more as people are catching on. But I'm trying not to focus on that because I drill it in my head, Sarah. No ego. It isn't about me. It's not about my talents or my abilities. It's just shipping out the message for other women to arm themselves with.
That's the hardest part for all of us. All of us. We're all addicted to the numbers now on your social media, on your downloads, on your rankings, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere.
The minute it becomes about your ego, like, you're in trouble. You and I have both met people that it's all about the ego. It's all about them. Like that, it's tough being successful when you ride everything on that you're so amazing. So everybody should want to listen and watch what you're doing.
So I'm going to be on your show because you helped me so much. I don't want to give too much away because I want people to go and subscribe to She Read It Herself and listen to our episode. But you really helped me through my IVF journey with talking about one podcast episode that I tuned into really changed my perspective and prayers about IVF and having this next baby. And I will tell you, you are 100% correct. When you really surrender, and I'm with you, I it's really hard for me to read the Bible. I have a book, I'll get it for our podcast episode, that is just every day, just a little passage from the Bible. It's just one page that you're supposed to read. I struggle to read that. However, when I do, my day, my night is so much at peace because it's true. When you know, and I mean, I have a whole other philosophy too. Like I say every day, you know, I do this. I say every day, everything is working out for you better than you could have ever imagined. Everybody in LA is working to help you. Everything is, you know, no matter what pops up, it's going to be better. And even if a job disappears, an even better one. I say that over and over because I've spent so many years living, you know, on pins and needles and just, you know, holding on for dear life, like, oh, what's going to happen? Am I going to be okay? Am I going to have any money? And it's, I don't want to live in scarcity. It's like, I'm living in abundance right. The next however many years.
Amen.
Yeah. Forever.
It's a miserable way to live.
Correct. So we are going to do
And thank you. That was the worry and anxiety poof be gone. And I had you in mind when I recorded that, but I'm so glad it helped.
So we're going to do a worry Poof Be Gone Part 2 episode.
We're going to do it on what do you do when you're sitting in the uncertainty with the I don't know what to do next. How do you sit in that peacefully? How do you make decisions?
Can't wait. Going to be on your show, Ms. Pink Monster. You can find her everywhere on social media. We'll be back to our once a month podcast episodes. And
ooh, and we're going to get a little, do you want to tease out what we're going to be doing on our episodes? Because I think we might lose some more followers.
I don't care. I really don't. I don't. You have to be yourself. You have to be yourself. Well, I think, you know, you and I've talked offline. We want to do more mom talk topics. And now everything, which I don't think will come as a surprise to our audience, everything is political now. I don't care what it is. Your podcast is political. Whether you, whatever belief you have on trans people or trans kids or I just had on
immigration.
And everything is political. So I don't care. I'm also learning. I have my own thoughts and opinions. I'm happy if people, you can slide in my DMs. People disagree with me all the time. I'm happy. I don't need the proclamation that you're leaving. I don't care. It's not that I don't care. I truly wish you well. And like, you should unfollow if you have stress or that's fine. I do it every day to people and I never announce it because life is short. Follow the feed that you get inspired by. But I don't need the big, I'm leaving you and you're a shame and I don't care about that. I really don't. That's for you. You need the attention. Okay, I'm off my soapbox. You and I are going to do topics, mom topics, life topics. I think from probably maybe a little bit two different political beliefs now. I love it.
What we were talking about, it's interesting. We both changed over the years. You know, I used to be a conservative Republican and I call myself an independent now, but I find myself, you know, supporting a lot of liberal views, which is insane. And you,
well, I actually
kind of done the opposite of me.
Yeah, I was a very hardcore liberal Democrat, but I identify as an independent now. I just updated my voter status in the state of California.
Yeah.
I cannot. There's just no way. I can't. No, I'm no longer a Democrat. Sorry.
So this should be interesting seeing how we feel about different views. But in a bit, because like you said, if you are, especially if you're a parent, but if you are a middle-aged woman nowadays, I don't feel, how can you hide your head in the sand and not be affected by some political issue? You know, it's everywhere in our lives right now. I used to be, you know, a 20-something-year-old. I was like, I don't care about politics. Oh, don't tell me. Leave me out of it.
Of course.
You can't avoid it anymore.
Well, also, I really strive for my show, and you and I, our friendship is really like this. I think my show should be a stream of consciousness, like you're talking to your girlfriend. And when I call you up, oh my God, we have the best time. We chit-chat about our kids, our spouses. We gossip a little about people we probably shouldn't, but whatever. And then we talk about a political thing. But that's to me what that's where my life really is. That's what I find interesting is I don't want to just do all fluff reality shows. Yes. Do I love Sister Wives and these trashy 1,000-pound sisters? I actually genuinely do. But then I
don't know how you do it.
I know. You're like, are you over
no,
that
but
card?
I'm not going to judge you for it.
No,
I'm not going to judge you for it.
That's okay.
You love your... Yeah, not even going to go there. Go ahead, continue.
No, but then it's like I am so fascinated by, I love when I listen to all kinds of different podcasts, Bill Maher's podcast, and I used to listen to Pod Save America a lot. I love what is happening with our country and how are we going to move forward as a country together? I'm very much like, we got to stay together as a democracy.
Together, how it's, I know, right?
But how's it going to happen? I want to talk about to my friends because there's so many smart women like yourself and other smart women to have conversations with and men. I love a little philosophy chat and then what's going on with love after lockup, honey? I mean, all that. So yeah, we're doing that too.
We are. And I'm so excited for it. I think it's going to be great. So many times you and I are on the phone for like an hour.
An hour.
I wish we were recording this because
and we have
this is
business.
Hilarious.
We ought to do business ideas, which we will, because I'm going to launch my podcast course. You're building your podcast. And by the way, we also, you know, we've had amazing sponsors on this show, including our friend David Rubin, the unbelievable divorce attorney in Maryland, who we love. So we are taking on new sponsors. The Sarah Fraser
That's right.
Show.
We would like to be paid for this. This
absolutely.
Would be nice. But, yeah. But not to toot our own horns, but every time we have had a sponsor, we have gotten them so much business, they end up leaving us because they can't take any more business on.
Yes.
It's happened to us twice.
David Rubin is looking for new attorneys to hire. So you can DM us, either one of us on Instagram, Ms. Pink Monster, The Sarah Fraser Show, but we're going to get more.
Ms. Pink Monster.
We're going to do more with our ads. But yeah, I mean, that's what I love about you, friend. And I think that you should also have friends you can like agree to disagree. And it's not the end of the world. We have to have those conversations. I learn stuff from you every time we talk and perspectives that I wouldn't necessarily do. And I'm sure you feel the same about me.
Yeah,
but that's
absolutely. I forgot what you said to me the other day when we were talking. I was like, oh, I actually totally agree with that. You changed my mind about something, but I don't remember what it was.
It was so significant.
But I swear it was important.
Hon, okay. Friend, I love you. I love you. I cannot believe our friendship started in 2005. And do you know, next year will be 20 years of knowing one another. Is that not bananas?
What?
20 years.
Oh, my
I met you.
Gosh.
Wait, no, that's not
Seriously.
Actually right.
Seriously.
No, that's not right.
No, that's not right. It was 2006.
Seven. Wasn't it, or 2006, when the Kane Show started?
No, it was 2006, because we moved here when I was engaged to Peter, and I was 26 years old, so that was 2006.
And I had auditioned for the
Kane
Show.
And he started the show with you. Yeah.
Well, no, he'd auditioned several people. Remember, he'd auditioned like four
women.
Well,
yeah, but it was only for like a couple months before you got in there.
That's true. I think they were on, Sammy and Kane, I think, were on the air for like 3 months, and then I joined, and then... Yeah, so I think 2006, 2007. So we're almost at 20 years. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, gosh, that's insane. Can you believe everything we've lived through and we're still friends?
I can't.
That's crazy.
No, it seems like a lifetime ago. And I can't remember the restaurant we would go to that was like on the ocean that had this like really five-star buffet that we would all go to in Tampa.
Oh, my gosh. Oyster Catchers.
Oyster
Catchers in Tampa.
There.
If you're in Florida, it is the best Sunday brunch you will ever have in your life.
God, we'd be so hungover. We'd be drinking. Oh, God, it's really crazy. We all had a good time.
I know.
All right, love you, friend.
Everybody, we're still here, still together.
Thank you, God.
I love
right?
you so much. I love you so much. You bring so much joy to my life.
Well, ditto. Love it. So fun. So, all right, you guys follow us and look for my episode out with Natasha and then Natasha's episode out with me coming very soon.
Yeah.
Bye, friend.
Goodbye.